Does everybody have a handout? Anybody not have a handout? Okay. Chet is faithfully sitting in the back there by the door, taking care of that. So this week, we're going to just talk about scripture memorization. And the reason we're going to do this is because we talk about memorizing all the time. We talk about our hidden stickers. Can you hold up a name tag with it? Actually, your name tag with a hidden sticker. So we talk about the hidden stickers. That's a theme that comes out of Psalm 119:11. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. And so we not only hold up the word here in this class big time, but we hold up scripture memorization big time. And I would really, really encourage you, my little commercial here, to memorize scripture as much as you can. And I say that to just be practical. I know that we're all busy people and all that, but you know what? This is the word of God, and this word changes us. This word gives us hope and strength and peace through every single day. It's scripture that is resounding in our brains and in our hearts when we are laying in bed at night fretting over all of the things that we fret about, that scripture memorization comes back to mind. You don't want to turn on a light in the middle of the night. It's too bright. But when you have scripture in your head, and it just keeps going on, and you can recite scripture, not for any academic reason, but for therapy, so that you can recite scripture and have it help your heart and bring you closer to God as you struggle through the things of life. Could be light things. Could be something about, you know, going on in your house, or maybe something that's lighter going on in your job, or it could be heavy things. It could be the fact that you have a child that you might lose. It could be you had a wife who got, you know, creamed in a car accident and you wanted to recover. You know, it could be you're struggling whether you want to even keep being a Christian or not, because a lot of it doesn't make sense, and at least to you. And there's challenges, okay? Scripture in your head and in your heart that automatically comes back to mind is just, it's germane to the Christian life. And so that's why we do this. You know, so we talk about scripture memorization all the time. We have the hidden stickers and all that. The thing I don't know that we've ever really done is that, how do you memorize scripture? How do you do it? You know, so there's a lot of, question marks. There were a lot of people going, well, it sounds great, but like, I don't have a clue. I don't know where to start. What do I do? And it seems really, really hard. You know, how does this stuff go? So I thought, since I recited 1 Timothy 6:3-12 last week as the text for my lesson, I thought, let's go ahead and use that as just sort of a case study. And what I'm going to do is I'm just going to sort of walk you through how I did it. And this is just an example. It's not the example. And by the way, for others of you who've memorized scripture and you want to add, or you have a great idea or whatever, please raise your hand, say something. We're just all here to learn together. So this is like an instructional, you know, time today, instructional lesson. But I hope that, you know, this will help you, and you can take it home, and you know, maybe it'll help you as you go forward. Who here has memorized, let's just call it, a lot of scripture? Therese? She's memorized a lot. Okay. The book of Philippians. Good. That's great. Anything, Becky?
I can recite it now. Like.
Yeah, let's hear it right now. Today's lesson is the book of Philippians. So.
I did James.
You memorized James. Great. Okay. And Becky, you had your hand sort of up.
Just growing up in a Christian home, you know, we were always memorizing, like in Awana and things like that, but being part of the Christian school, one of our competitions was Bible memory.
Okay.
And so I would do that every year, and so, you know, it was like 80 to 100 verses each year. Mm-hmm. And you had to memorize the verse with the punctuation and an application, and you could go to state and nationals.
Get your big hidden sticker. Yeah. Okay. Who here has memorized a moderate amount? Raise your hands high so I can see them. A moderate amount. Okay. What would you call a moderate amount? Like, what have you done?
It's been like when I was going
to self-confrontation. There's the verses that I memorized.
Okay.
And then, like, another time in counseling, I memorized, like, Colossians 3 and Colossians 1.
Okay. Chapters?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Anybody else? Like, what's a moderate amount? Gary?
Yeah, so, small chapter of the Bible, none of them eight verses.
Okay.
Oh, that's only six. I know that, but that's only five. That's 16.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's not necessarily single verses, but a few verses put together. But
yeah.
Like, whole chunks of
it. Yeah. I just have to ask this. Now, I can't take forever on this, but I just want to ask it. To all of you who've memorized a lot of Scripture, or even a moderate amount, how has it impacted you? How has it blessed you? How has it benefited you? Susan?
We memorized Psalm 139 with RJ when he was like 3 or 4 years old. And I will tell you, that psalm, it seems appropriate every single day.
Yeah.
There's some verse in there that is applicable to your day.
Yeah.
And now we're starting to memorize that with our grandchildren now that are about the same age that he was.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just always, just seems like it's always.
Yeah.
It rolls through your mind all the time.
It rolls through your mind all the time. That's what happens when you memorize Scripture. Brad.
Two things pop to my head. One is that when you start going through something and you're wondering, where do I turn? All of a sudden, you have something that you memorized in the past or read in the past several times, and you're like, wow, I'll take that for Scripture. I need to concentrate on
it. Yeah.
Two is when you're talking to somebody about the Lord, that the Holy Spirit's guiding you to Scripture.
Yep.
And those are the two pieces that I always think about. Wow, okay, put it in your head so that you can be effective.
And that's a great example. We all want to share Christ with people. We all want to share the gospel. And sometimes you're sort of like stumped or you're put on the spot or whatever. And again, with Scripture being committed to memory, there are a lot of times where just naturally, and I've had this happen too, Brad, where I'm talking to somebody about the gospel and the Scripture just pops into my mind. And it's like, I can say that. And what's really good about that is it's not Mike Wade speaking, which has this value. It's Scripture speaking, and which has immense value. So that's another benefit. Somebody else? Christiana?
I memorized Romans 8 in my early teens.
It's a light chapter. Yeah.
It's a good chapter.
Yeah.
Around the same time, I had this month or two of just really intense periods of either temptation or depression.
Yeah.
And that was something safe to come to. When thoughts would intrude in my mind, I could just recite the verse, and it was safe, and it was good.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. One more. Anna.
Thanks. One, kind of along with what Christiana just said, too. You know, if you're like me, and you don't sleep well, and that's, to me, is when, you know, the enemy really likes to do his best work, and mm-hmm. verses that I have memorized come to mind. Because there's a reason why the Bible is our sword, and so that is what you use to fight off those thoughts.
Yep.
The middle of the night is the worst.
Yep.
And secondly, going along with a lot of memorization, a lady who used to attend here, and I know several women in here know her, Holly Stedman, she memorized several books of the Bible,
mm-hmm.
and it was amazing to hear her recite the entire book of Revelation by memory.
Yeah.
It's just, that's why, I mean, I'm excited to learn what you,
yeah.
how you're, we can do that, because
yeah.
no way, but it was just amazing to see that.
Yeah, you know, Anna mentioned the middle of the night. Psalm 63, part of that is something I've memorized. And one of the verses in Psalm 63 is, on my bed I remember you in the watches of the night. Because, you know, it goes on and on, you know, about you being my hope and my strength and so forth. You know, and I've recited that dozens and dozens of times. On my bed I remember you in the watches of the night. On my bed I think of you, I remember you in the watches of the night. So. And just one thing, I just want to make one last little, throw one last little grenade on that just blows this thing up for good, period. None of what we're talking about has anything to do with accomplishing some kind of an academic or getting a brownie, what's that word? Brownie point. Or, you know, pumping up your pride or, you know, it has nothing to do with that. Nothing. This is all about honoring God, hiding his word in your heart so that you won't sin against him, And then also helping you minister to yourself and to your world around you. And praise the Lord and worship Him. You know, we worship Him when we memorize Psalms and stuff. You know, we recite them in worship to Him.
My uncle memorized Romans 8, Romans 12, several chapters in the Bible when he was a young kid. He's 85 now, and he wants absolutely nothing to do with God.
Okay.
In the night watches, when he lays his head down, those scripture memories go through his mind and he eats it.
Really? Okay.
So it's not about accomplishing anything.
Yeah.
But then the Lord can use that.
Yeah.
You know, he's not saved.
Right.
The Lord can, I'm hoping, will continue to use that to bring him to salvation.
Yeah. Yeah, and by the way, that's a good example. I'm not saying him specifically, but generically, the person who can quote scripture all day long, but like they got all the answers, they just got none of the results. They can quote scripture all day long, but they're a wreck. And you know, that's that. They just, you know, they're not saved. And so far, I'm not talking about him, but just in general. So again, the point is, this has nothing to do with academic accomplishments. This is a spiritual heart endeavor. That's what we're talking about. Just real quick, Becky.
To that point, growing up the way that I did and being encouraged to memorize, at the time, you know, when you're in elementary school and you and your friends are doing Awana and you memorize the scripture and you memorize the chapters, at the time you really don't understand the benefit of what you're doing, but
right.
The leaders have encouraged you and taught you. And so because of those people in my life as an adult, then I reap the benefits of what they encouraged me to do, and I realized later, wow, this was so beneficial, but then it's coming back to my mind when I need it.
Yeah.
You know, and I would have never, you know, so it is good even when children don't really totally understand the benefit.
Yeah, I mean, on that analogy, you can make an analogy that we're really memorizing scripture. If nothing else, it's putting money in the bank. And when the day comes that you are laying in bed, you are having trauma, you are struggling in whatever way, you are sharing the gospel, et cetera, et cetera, the dividends start paying because you've taken the time and the effort to put the money in the bank. So now here it comes, and boom, you've got, you know, results there. Let's look at our handout. I'll try to do this without being too crazy in the short time we have, but if you're already like thinking this is way too complex for me, that's the point at the end of the handout, which hopefully I'll get to. But so on your first page, first of all, the approach. Again, I'll say it a million times, this is not a cliche. Pray, okay? And pray often, okay? God wants you to hide His word in your heart, and He will help you. Probably half of the room didn't raise their hand. That's okay. But probably half the room has never really gotten familiar or involved with ever memorizing scripture. That's okay, but you can benefit by memorizing scripture. So to those of you who maybe aren't familiar with this at all, I want you to know God wants you to hide His word in your heart, and He will help you do this. Don't say, get it out of your head right now, that you can't do this, or that's just not the way I am, or I just struggle at this, or whatever. That's not true. The fact of the matter is, if I put $1 million right here on the podium and said, first one that can memorize 8 verses gets it, you guys would probably have it done by lunch. So everybody can memorize scripture. And by the way, if you can't, then God's a liar. And God doesn't lie. So He wants you to hide His word in your heart. The second thing on your approach, handwrite it out with indentations per verse, include per verse, not per verse, but per verse. And include the version of the Bible. This is what I did for 1 Timothy 6, 3 to 12, right here. Okay, so this is the first half. This is the second half right here. I wrote it out with, like, here's verse 3, 4, 5, 6. And when you do this, I'm not like a psychologist or psychiatrist, but when you do this, it also helps you visually see it, and you remember what's there as you're recalling it in your mind. So I don't care if it's a whole chapter, write it out. Write it out on a piece of paper, okay? And this is the piece of the paper that you're going to use mostly when you do your memorization, your reviews. This is what you're going to use. Sometimes you can bring it up on your phone. Sometimes you can grab your Bible, whatever. That's fine. But this is going to be your main go-to, okay? So write it out. And just the very process of writing it out, if, and I'm writing anyone, advocates a different, guess what? Those are all getting baked into my mind as I'm writing them out, and I'm thinking about it as I'm doing it. So,
to parallel as you said, my testimony at the gathering we had a couple weeks ago, when I would pray, before I would read, I would pray and I would ask God to lay that word in my heart so that I would use it to minister to those that are lost and to strengthen my life also. But I would write it down. I would have it on surround sound in my house. I had 3x5 cards, which I have boxes of in my house.
Yeah.
Where I wrote down, just
exactly,
like you said, what laid upon my heart.
Yep.
And it helped me to remember those scriptures.
Yeah, and one thing that's important about this is, like, today most of us, like, we have Bibles on our phones and everything else. And that's sort of like where we turn to for the most part, or a lot of times. That's all fine, but I'm just telling you, if you write it down, you're going to really get helped by doing that versus just trying to pull it up on your phone and saying it again. Write it down. It's the first step. Go ahead.
I would just like to throw out that you might type it.
Okay.
You say write down.
I've done that.
My children will say, Therese, you're writing something nice. This is the best. I might even have a hard time reading it, so I find for me typing a little better.
Okay.
And then I can put it in 14 or 16 point font, double spaced,
yeah,
or single spaced, or whatever. And so then if I'm in a traffic light car, I can pick it up and I can see it real big and large.
Okay.
So there might be more than one way to do that.
Let me ask you a question. When's the best time to exercise?
When you have time.
The answer to the question is when you'll do it. That's the best time to exercise, is when you'll do it. Should you write scripture down? Yes. But what's the best way to do it? If it helps you to type it, type it. Okay? I prefer writing it. But if it helps you to type it, type it. We don't care how we get there. We just want to get there. Okay? So if that works for you, again, these are not, this is just like a work of art thing. Like, it's all over the map. Like, there's no black and white, hard and fast rules to this stuff. I'm just telling you what helped me. Point number three, first, read it start to finish 5 to 10 times and think, meditate on it as you read it. Picture in your mind the text like a story with one thing leading to the other, and also with word pictures in your mind of what is being described. As you do this, you also begin to notice common letters, words, and themes, key phrases, visuals, progressions, thoughts, textual emphasis, etc. Okay, so when you start, you write it down or you type it, read it, just read it. Like, you're going to be, yeah, but I'm not like tracking with everything. I don't care. Just read it. Read it 5 to 10 times. Just read it, the whole thing from start to finish. And some of these themes will start to pop up, you know, and it'll be the first way you start getting this in your head. Number four, eat the elephant one bite at a time. If you're a person who's never memorized scripture, you might start by memorizing one verse, and it might be a short verse. And even then, what you do is you start one bite at a time. So you're starting with one word. You're saying 1 Timothy 6:3-12. If, there, I'm done for the day. 1 Timothy 6:3-12, if. Great. Next time you can add a word. That's all you do. Just eat it one bite at a time, okay? And then as you continue to do this, you can add, like, maybe you do a phrase. If anyone advocates. 1 Timothy 6:3-12, if anyone advocates. So it's a phrase. Okay? And then maybe I go to a sentence, you know, that kind of thing. So you want to eat the elephant one bite at a time. These are just approaches. Now let's talk about methods on page 2. Simple, and we're not going to get through all this, I can tell right now. So the good thing is you have this handout you can take home and read it. It's basically what I'm going to say. Methods, simple repetition. I put this at the top because this is probably the main part of memorizing scripture. Anybody who's memorized tons of scripture, if you ask them, how do you do it? The first thing they're probably going to tell you is it's hard work. We're just talking work. That's what we're talking. Well, he's more gifted than me. She's more gifted than me. They have the... No. It's hard work. We were talking about people before class, and some got brought up about working and blah, blah, blah. In my experience, most millionaires are not millionaires because they're so smart. Yes, they're smart. But they're millionaires because they outwork everybody. Okay, that's why they're millionaires. It's the same thing here. The people that have memorized scripture in this room that raise their hand a lot or a moderate amount, they outworked the rest of us. That's what happened. It's work. And you just got to understand that. Do this like you learned your first elementary math tables. You know, we didn't say, well, 2 and 2 equals 4, and I can see how that happens because, you know, blah, 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 blah. No. You just 2 and 2 is 4. 3 times 3 is 9. You just learn your tables. It's just work. That's what you're doing here. Where this is really going to come in handy is when you're starting the very beginning. Okay, so how does 1 Timothy 6:3 start? What's the first word? I have nothing to base that on. I don't know. Like, where are we at? Like, in this text? I don't even know. So if I just, it's the word if. So I just, it's the word if. So I just memorize, it's if. Just like 2 and 2 is 4, it's if. That's what I start with. And then I go from there. And what happens is, as we go on, it gets easier and easier and easier. Because now what we're doing, it's like uncoiling yarn or something. It's like a storyline. So the rote repetition is helpful for the start. And then it's also helpful for certain words, like in the middle, that you might get stumped on. I got stumped on a few words. The word is which. Not which, but you know, which, a conjunction word. And I kept saying something like, you know, for or whatever. And it's like, so I had to go to like the repetition thing for which. And it's like, no, it's which, it's which, it's which, it's which. And just do it that way, okay? So that's repetition. That's going to be a real big part of this. And again, the main part of this whole lesson is this. It's hard work. Anna, it's hard work. If you want to memorize scripture, it's hard work. It takes commitment to memorize scripture. What's that?
Which is in verse
12?
I just
found. Is it 12? Thank you.
Verse
4.
Raphael,
verse 4.
Oh, it's in
verse 4.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think it was the one in verse 4. Yeah. Yeah, out of which arise envy, strife, blah, blah, blah. I didn't get that word right, so I had to go back and just, like, you know, do the simple repetition thing and just memorize it. Item 6 on your handout, common words or letters. This is interesting, and this happens again, too, when you write it out or maybe when you type it, but I find it's easier when I write it. If you notice, the letter A appears in verse 3. If anyone advocates A, and then you have and then you have agree, okay? Like, you have the letter A there like 5 times. So when you're thinking in your head, you know, this is before we get into all the meditation, okay? This is just the rote hard part. You're thinking in your head, it's like, I know there's a bunch of A's in there. If anyone advocates a different doctrine and does not agree with, you know, sound words, you know, blah, blah, blah. So you know there's this progression of A's there. That's going to stand out to you. There's he, the 2 times in verse 4. He is conceited and understands nothing, but he has a morbid interest. I could have just said he is conceited and understands nothing, but has a morbid interest. That's fine, but that's not what it says. So I say, he is conceited and understands nothing, but he has a morbid interest. So I know that there's he twice. Okay, there's a repetition there. Themes, look at 7. You have doctrine 2 times in verse 3. You've got words in verses 3 and 4. You've got godliness 4 times. And by the way, on your handout, I tried to go not too crazy with the colors here. But I color-coded these things, obviously. So with themes, that's in blue text. So I just highlighted those in blue on your handout. I wasn't trying to do like the kiddie version here. This is just helpful. So you got doctrine, words, godliness, content, 2 times in verses 6 and 8. These are themes that happen through the, you know, the scriptures. Melissa?
I just wanted to go back to common letters or words.
Yeah.
And how I usually memorize scripture, usually I get notes or a piece of paper. But I do, on the opposite side, I do just the first letter of each word.
Okay.
So, like, if it was the first verse, I would do I-A-A-A-D-D-A-D.
Okay.
So I would just write the first letter of each word, and that's helpful when you're going through it, just to look at the letters.
Okay.
Be like, what are each of these letters? That's how I've always...
Yeah. Now, that's pretty complex for me. I think I would, like, I would probably... be sucking my thumb in a corner, but it works for you, so that's great. You know, Becky.
Regardless of what method you use, I'm really
be one thing, and I think also as a teacher, I found this to be true, but whatever you do, do it out loud.
Okay.
Even when you read it.
Good point.
Read it out loud.
Yeah.
And when you read it as if you were telling somebody. Like,
yeah.
Read it with meaning. Don't just read the words.
Yep.
Actually look at what it's saying and read it like a story.
Yeah.
Because usually phrases like that, like if I, like we remember something we told somebody, we heard somebody say.
Yeah.
You usually remember in a group. You don't remember a specific word.
Yeah.
And so I know me or what I tell my kids, say it out loud because I'll ask them, I'll say, okay, how many of you, this is how you study. And you're, you know, it's
right.
Silent.
Right. Yeah, no, you're right.
I got it. And they're like, yes. And then they're terrible.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you have to force your brain to recall it without looking.
Yeah.
And say it out loud, and it just makes a huge difference.
Yeah, that's a good point. Go ahead, Therese.
I don't even, like, hear symmetry or poetry to it.
Totally.
You know, the, like, rhyming words pick up.
Yeah.
And so that will help you to kind of, like, just link pieces together.
Yep, for sure. Yep. So those are themes. So you're going to see themes in what you're trying to memorize. And by the way, all of this, these are like mortar between bricks. And when you're done with all this stuff, what comes together is this, you know, like beautiful, meditative, worshipful approach, you know, to the whole thing that you're doing. These are just bits and pieces here. Key phrases, item 8. Controversial questions. Depraved and deprived. Conforming to godliness, which is the purpose of doctrine. These are like key phrases that you hear. And then you have in verse 9, you have three things that happen, and they're both in sets of two. Temptation and a snare, foolish and harmful, and ruin and destruction. And that's also an example of a progression, but there's key phrases like that that are going to pop out in your head, and not only will it help you memorize it, but as you're thinking of the meaning of it all, it's going to stand out, you know, from a meditative perspective. Now, if you stop and think about it, in verse 9, temptation and a snare leading to foolish and harmful, leading to ruin and destruction. So it all starts with temptation, and at the end of it all is destruction. So it's a heck of a progression. Item 9, visuals. What I mean by visuals is as you write this out, as you recite it, as you read it over and over, word pictures or stories are going to pop in your head, and that's a good thing. So, like, for instance, in here, I just wrote down some examples of, like, you know, Paul educating Timothy on all this. This is 1 Timothy. This is Paul instructing Timothy to do this stuff. So I can see Paul, the mentor, dealing with Timothy, the mentee, and telling them all this stuff, you know? And then you say, why? Like, and who was Paul? And who was Timothy? And what was the setting? And, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, you think of these visuals. You think of the sinister finger on the chin of evil suspicions following abusive language. So, you know, they have, I'll just read it for you here. Envy, which I mentioned last week, is silent. And then it leads to strife. And then it leads to abusive language. Now we're name calling. And then you go home and you're stewing. And so now you got all these evil suspicions. Why this? I bet you he that. I bet you, you know, they're, you know. And so I just see this guy going, the evil suspicions. And these are just word pictures that pop in your mind. They're visuals. Constant friction, the third bullet down. Constant friction. And verse 5, in constant friction between men of depraved mind and deprived of the truth. Can't you just see a bunch of these miserable people just having constant friction? That's what they do. Like, some guys talk about the lions, some guys talk about whatever, some guys just have constant friction. Of course, you'd have constant friction if you talk about the lions too, but constant friction. Constant friction. Of men between, of depraved mind and deprived of the truth. That's what you do. And you can just see them. Yeah. You can just see them. Verse 7. We have brought nothing into the world so we cannot take anything out of it either. We've all heard of the funny analogy of the hearse and the U-Haul. There's no hearse pulling a U-Haul. Okay, it's like these are just things that pop into your mind. Correlations in item 10, in verse 11, you have flee, pursue, fight, take hold of. All of those things tie together. They're all imperatives or correlations. In verse 7, you have bringing things in, taking things out. These are things that are going to pop in your mind as you're memorizing this. You're going to see like these different things going on, and it's going to help you memorize it. Progressions, I just mentioned it, item 11. Envy leading all the way to constant friction, okay, which is an example of escalation. What else? Yeah, and I said here, you got some words that might not be totally isolated, but they're part of a progression. You have righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. You could view that as a progression, okay? And by the way, some parts of Scripture that you're going to read are literal progressions, and that's the way they're intended. There are other parts of Scripture, and I'm not trying to like say, yeah, just free for all, become a heretic. I'm not saying that. But if it helps you, and you're thinking of progressions in Scripture, even though it's not a literal progression, but you're thinking of it in a progressive way, that's fine. It helps you memorize it. So there's a lot of progressions that you're going to see. And then to wrap it up on the last page, by the way, the and but for at the top, I'm like, oh, I just noticed that after like doing this like 10 times. I'm like, there's and but for, and but for, and but for. You know, it's sort of like in a pattern. It's and but for, and but for. It's like, that's interesting. You know, so now guess what? I know I just got done saying like and, but so the next one's not and again. It's for. It's and, or it's but, I'm sorry. It's and but for, you know. So you'll see that. Item 12, literary flow and connecting sections. Here, what you can do is learn sections at a time. It's eating the elephant one bite at a time. You learn a section, you get that down, you learn another section. Then you just tie them together. It's like putting links on a chain. You know, sometimes that's easy to do too, or makes it easier.
Mike, even to go back to your first point about reading it 5 to 10 times, if you're gonna learn the book of Philippians, you're not gonna read the whole book of Philippians 5 to 10 times. You're gonna read maybe the first half of the first book of Philippians as a section 5 to 10 times.
Yeah.
And then when you conquer that little bite, then you move on to the next one.
Exactly. Yep. So again, you can read some of these other comments on your own time, but item 13, just miscellaneous. I just said, just, you know, keep the entire text in mind as you work through this. And again, you don't have to have your piece of paper every time. If, like, a lot of times I would pull out my phone if I'm in the car and it's like, oh, I didn't bring my piece of paper. So I'll just bring up my phone and I'll bring up, you know, 1 Timothy and I'll go ahead and read it or try to recite it, you know, whatever. So the point is that as you're going through this, feel free, even though you're chewing the elephant one bite at a time, feel free to just jump ahead once in a while and just read the whole thing, you know, so that you sort of get the whole framework of what's going on here. And then you come back to your bite-sized piece and you work on it, you know, until you can continue on. Last little thing I said there in bold. This sounds like a really complex technical approach, but it's not. These are just natural things that happen. I'm just spelling them out here. And I color-coded these things so you can go home and take a look at them and say, oh, I see those, you know, two things or three things together or whatever. This is not like a forced complexity here. This actually just happened naturally, and it happens naturally, and I'm just describing it. You know, that's all we're doing. So that's, to me, that's a decent approach as to how to memorize Scripture. If you've never memorized Scripture before, you could take this and just sort of follow it. You're going to think, like she mentioned all the first letters, like I'd be in a bar after doing that, okay? But it works for her. That's fine. So, you know, what I'm saying is just go ahead and try it, and you'll see some of these things naturally happen, you know, as you're doing this. Becky.
Just something. Noticing a difference from when I was younger and I just memorized things either for Awana or for a competition versus when I was really walking with God in this passage. I was going through something in my life and I memorized this passage and it related to something in my life.
Mm-hmm.
It's much easier to memorize, or I naturally memorized it. So, I mean, I would encourage you to choose something that God's using in your life right now.
Yeah.
Not just, oh, I really like this chapter. I'm going to memorize it. But if you, those things that he's using in your life, it is going to be much easier to memorize that because the words are going to jump out at you.
And that's another great point. If you guys are like, you know, going through life today or this week or whatever, and you go, oh, I want to look up some scripture on that, and you look it up, and it's like, you know, that just speaks so well to that. that'd be a really good thing to memorize. You know, take that paragraph, take that chapter, whatever, a couple verses, and memorize it. Because then you can keep that, you know, for next time. So, any other comments or thoughts, questions?
Nancy and I memorized the book of Jude together. And when I was going through that, I mentioned it to one of my kids, I think Caitlin, my oldest daughter, and she's mm-hmm. like, Mom, there's like a great app for that,
yeah.
for memorizing. And it's kind of like a fun game, like it
yeah.
take out a bunch of phrases and you got to fill in, or it gives you multiple choice.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're like sitting in a doctor's office or something, it's like,
yeah.
Nice thing to just...
There's phonetic things, too, that happen. Like when Jerry was teaching on psalms, you know, psalms are put together. They're songs and poetry, and a lot of times you can put this stuff to a melody. And I remember back in the 80s, I was leading a little class of seven-year-olds in Awana, and I remember today, and I didn't even think about it until just now, 1 John 4:14. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And that's how these kids learned it, you know, so... phonetically too, you know, that stuff happens. So, all right, well, I think that's going to do it for now. We're late and we are dismissed. So next week, Becky with the missions liaison update.